you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Dennis Leprell Dykes II, ADC number 150334.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing for the Oral Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to your community supervision revocation. I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to the board members that have conducted the hearing at this time.
Mr. Mayor, are we supposed to call people?
No, hang on. I already talked about the right about it, about these phone calls.
What about the POs, Adams?
We have to call the POs.
Well, we call the PO, but when you start the phone calls, we'll get all of them. He's got a list of seven that he
wants. Right.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and introduce the board members this time. And from your far left on the screen is the Honorable Gary Whitmouse. Then in the center is our acting board chairman, Michael Johnson. To the far right is the Honorable Rudy Canonis. My name is David Neal. I'll be your hearing lead. And also in the room today, we have the Honorable Mr. Trimmer from the Department of Corrections, and also represent the prayer office today. Okay, sir, we're going to be putting through some phone calls now. Mr. Johnson, we'll start with the PO. We'll start that call. You gave us a list of seven people. We cannot accommodate them. We don't have the time nor the resources to call that many people. So if you have called, which ones would you like called?
She's at the top.
Yes,
I think she's there at your office.
Yes,
Supervisor. Officer Perez, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Sir, we're starting the hearing for Mr. Dykes, and we understand you're going to be a part of that.
Yeah, if you have any questions, Mr. Johnson, I'll be part of it.
Okay, what about Adams and Berger? Are they there with you, or do I need to call them?
We're going to need to call them. They're actually in the field, but they're next to the phone waiting.
Okay, if you just hold on, I'll go ahead and start making these other calls, okay?
And it'll be on their cell phone, sir.
Okay, I'm hoping this is the cell number that I have. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, you said your mother? Is that
yes,
Mary?
Mother.
Is that Mary?
Yes, Mary. Yes.
Okay, and one other person?
All right, here's the phone number.
Yeah, I'll be there. Jim
Kobe. Okay. And hang on, sir, we're putting together the phone calls now.
That's Mary.
Okay, thank you.
This is Mary, correct. Mary, yes.
Okay, your mother's here in the boardroom. We're going to call her. Okay, so we'll call Mr. Okay. Kobe as soon as we can. Okay.
Officer Adams?
Yes.
Hi, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. We understand you wanted to be on the hearing for Mr. Dykes.
If needed, absolutely.
Okay, sir, would you just hold on? There's a couple of few more calls that we have to make, okay?
No problem.
Okay. Mr. Peretta and Mr. Adams, you still on the line?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on. We still have more calls to make. Sir, we understand you wanted to be on the phone call with Mr. Dykes as we're doing his hearing today.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, if you just hold on, we have a couple more calls we need to make, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Officer Parada, Adams, and Bird, you all on the line?
Dan Parada, we're here.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Please hold on, we got a couple more calls to make. Thank you.
forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 602-723-6944 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Executive Clemency, sir. We understand you wanted to be on the hand for Mr. Dykes.
Oh, yeah, this is it, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay,
good for
you. Sir, just, if you just hold on, we're just starting the hearing. We have some other people on the line, and the Honorable David Mayer will be conducting the hearing, and he'll tell you the appropriate time, okay? Just hang on, sir.
All right.
Officer Parada, are you still on?
Yes, sir.
Officer Adams?
Yes.
Officer Byrd?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Covey?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Great, thank you. Okay. We'll get this going here, and we will go through some information with you, Mr. Dykes, and then we'll go to your support rooms, and then if need be, we'll talk to the prayer officers about any other information we need about this, okay?
Okay.
All right, so prior to this hearing, sir, you received a notification form advising me of the hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yes.
Do you have that form to notify your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense? Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I have to represent myself today.
Okay, so at this time, I'm going to swear in everybody who will or may give any testimony. So that would be Mr. Dykes, you know, Mary Dykes, Officers Peretta, Berg, and Adams, and Mr. Jim Covey.
And Mr. Turner.
And Mr. Turner. Well, I'm going to sit down, Mr. Turner. And so, do you all solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm? Mr. Dykes?
I do.
Ms. Dykes?
I do.
Okay, Mr. Turner?
I do.
Mr. Parada?
I do.
Mr. Byrd?
I do.
Mr. Adams?
I do.
And Mr. Covey?
I do.
Okay, thank you all. Okay, sir, your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And if they've been violated in phase two, we will determine whether community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the two allegations on your right. And after each one, I'm going to ask if they're true or false, okay?
Okay.
All right, well, this one is a violation of the early condition of supervision number 7 as demonstrated by the use of methamphetamine on or about January 28, 2019, for your verbal admission on January 31st, 2019. Is that statement true or false, sir?
That statement is true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Allegation number 2 is a violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number 5 as demonstrated by your engagement in threatening behavior on or about January 31st, 2019 in Maricopa County, Arizona. Is that true or false, sir?
I did say those things, but they were not intended as a threat.
Okay, so you're saying it's false?
No, it's partially true and partially not.
Okay, well, you have to make your mind up one way or the other. Now, in phase two, you'll have ample time to explain the situation. So, is it...
Okay, then it will be true.
Okay, thank you, sir. All All right, so based on the emissions of Mr. Dykes, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of the supervision and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second, agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Canales, agreed by Mr. Johnson and Littenhouse. Okay, so we're going to be moving into phase two in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Turner is going to give us some background information. So stay on the phone and I'll get right back with you, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Dykes was released from ADC custody on 9/27/2018 and arrested on 1/31/2019 by ADC on tech violations. No new charges were noted at that time. He was returned back to ADC custody on 1/31/2019 with a CCD of 12/28/2021. Zero respond days. The current conviction, 1998, theft, prior convictions, 1999, commitment A, count one, burglary third degree, 3 years. 1999, commitment B, count one, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 1999, commitment C, count one, sexual conduct with a minor, 12 years. 2001, commitment D, count two, aggravated assault, 7 years, 6 months. 2001, commitment D, count three, escape, first degree, 2 years, 6 months. 2001, commitment E, count one, escape, second degree, 1 year, 6 months. This is his second term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3. Mental health score of one, substance abuse score of two. No STD information is noted, and there's no prior terms in supervision. Disciplinary is significant with taking a hostage, escape, weapons, assault with a weapon, and drugs noted. Other arrest, 1998, assault, Arizona felony conviction probation. 1998, robbery, Arizona felony conviction probation. He has a GB score of G2, V4. Other comments, he is a level 3 sex offender that is registrable, notifiable, SBP reviewable, DCAC was cited in the court docs. The victim was a 15-year-old female.
What was the original charge? There was a sound coming from the phone about the time you said it.
His current charge?
Yes.
His current charge, 1998, theft, 1 year.
Okay, theft, 1. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir.
I'm confused. Okay, his current charges was 1998 as 1 year, and this is 2019. And nothing else in that series adds up to that round of incarceration. Do you have any other information?
It looks like he may have went out to court in 2012 for that charge.
Okay, so it's possible that was a very old charge that he just got sentenced on.
I'll do a little more.
Okay, thank you, sir.
We'll get involved
with the hearings. All right, thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Banks, we're going to go over a summary of the case supervision here real quick. So for residents, when you were released, you were approved placement. Was nothing. There was none at the time. But on 9/27, while you were doing intake, you were approved to reside at Newton Windsor Inn, located at 546 West Adams Street in Phoenix. So did you stay there the rest of the time you were out, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes it's a little bit confusing because when you get released, you're basically homeless, but they get you a place for an intake. Did you have any work while you were out?
Yes, I was working with Corman Roaching. That's Jim Colby. He was my supervisor.
Okay, what kind of work were you doing?
We were laying down polyurethane foam, commercial roofing.
Okay, well, that's good. So for programming, it's showing that you were assigned a task. We only had three new A's back, but they were all negative, so no work problems then, sir, correct?
No, not usually.
Okay. Well, that's commendable. So, let's go back to the first one was, you admitted to using methamphetamine, but you had the other negative drop, so apparently you're not totally addicted. Was that the only time you used meth while you're out, sir?
Yeah, that's the last time I used it was when my dad died in here.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you a question about that, because based on the warrant information, that you were evidently having some anger management problems, and you used the meth to control, as like self-medication, to stop your urges?
Yes, I did tell him that.
Okay. Well, so now, with the other allegation, we're talking about the threatening behavior. I know you've got somewhat of an issue with that, but as a brief thing, according to the information we have, you told your PO that you had an urge to kill someone, and that your urges were a large portion of your life, and you felt counseling would not help. You further explained that you're unsure where the thoughts were coming from, however they were uncontrollable. So, tell us a little bit about that, sir.
All right, well, for the record, I am not currently suicidal, nor do I have any inclination or anyone. That being said, for my entire life, I've gone through cycles of severe depression where I want to kill myself, or I can go the other way where I'm just incredibly, intensely angry and just want to hurt someone, or I could be full of energy, positive, and full of drive, and then I'll crash. Most of the time I'm stable, but I do have swings like that.
Were you receiving any mental health treatment like that?
No, I lost my health care when I went to work. I'm not making too much money.
I mean, I'm not supposed to name names of facilities, but I can, off the top of my head, I know of two facilities, three actually, where you go without any health care and get mental health treatment, and even on an inpatient basis. So there are places out there that will help you without health care. And it sounds to me like you need to have some continuing care. Possibly get on some meds, where they can stabilize your urges and monitor you over a period of time. Did you talk to your PO about needing or if you could get something? You told them, according to this, you told them that counseling wouldn't help you. And
I was hell bent on coming back here. I feel safe in here. I feel like I'm home. I've been here for years.
So you prefer to be in there? Have you asked them for some mental health treatment?
I went and talked to the psychiatrist Friday. She put me on Paxil to stabilize my moods and gave me something else for anxiety, but I can't remember the name of it.
Okay, well, that's fine. Yeah. As long as you're getting some treatment and they give you something that's stabilizing your mood and everything, that seems like the best thing for you. I don't know if it's staying in prison for, if you feel safe there, that's fine, but I don't know if that's the best option overall. Maybe after, when all this is over and done, you still get treatment outside. But it sounds like for right now that you really prefer to be right where you're at, so you're safe and you are getting some treatment.
I don't want to stay here. I know that I'm going to have to get out eventually, and I'm going to have to deal with all this. I would rather face it sooner.
Okay.
I'm asking for a second chance.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. And then clearly I'll say whatever you say, we're not going to use it just, to put you behind bars, keep you behind bars like that. But so this theft charge from 1998, is that where those escape charges came from? You were out there avoiding justice, and they caught you in final in 2012 or whenever it was, and that's when you finally got adjudicated? Is that what that is?
No. The escape charges came out of Navajo County. I was in the custody of the Department of Corrections. They took me back to court for the burglary charge, and I took a nurse hostage and walked out the door.
Okay. So you were gone for quite a while, and then they finally got you?
No, they caught me. They caught me out front.
Okay.
Well, I'm just curious. The 1998 charge is I was on probation when the burglary, the use of dangerous drugs and the sexual conduct. That was March of 2000. And then 2012 or something like that, they brought me back to Navajo or Maricopa County to violate the probation from 1998.
Okay. All right. Sometimes the way the information is a little confusing, and that's why I was asking the Mr. Turner about that. But that explains it a lot now. Okay. Well, all right. I'm gonna go ahead and see if the fellow board members have any questions at this time. No questions. Okay. Ma'am, would you like to speak on his behalf? Okay. Would you, can you get up here to the podium? All right. Thank you, Mr. Commanders.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, if you can state your name, then tell us what you'd like to tell us.
My name is Mary Dykes. My Dennis's mother. I wrote a statement that I'd like to read.
Okay.
It's acceptable. Dennis was released on September 27, 2018, after 19 years plus of incarceration. Of his own accord, he had acquired housing for himself. He registered as a sex offender and obtained his driver's license on the 28th. He then got a bike, a phone, and a job with Gorman Roofing, which he retained until January 31st, 2019, at which time he voluntarily turned himself into the parole office for drug violation. Immediately prior to doing so, he texted me to say he was sorry and I'm coping well. During the first 3 months of release, Dennis was successful at fulfilling all the requirements, giving him a then some. He reported to his PO, he reported for UAs, he obeyed his curfew, he participated in counseling and paying fees. He got a vehicle on November 17th, opened a bank account on December 7th, and set up an IRA. Submitted initial paperwork for an invention patent, and filed his 2018 taxes. With all that said and done, he began to stumble. He wasn't eating or sleeping and experiencing chest pains. His first 3 months of release was totally consumed with priorities and requirements. He had done everything that was necessary in doing so free time for him to begin to think about the strange new world that he was in. Fear set in and he got homesick for the place he's come to know as home, his safe place. Then he initiated a drug violation and fabricated the hunt to kill story to ensure that violation, to make sure that he could go home to his safe place. And I have correspondence also. I brought a lot of people. Dennis has refused the opportunity of transitional tools thus far, counseling, a halfway house, possibly medications. He has since come to the conclusion that he is not able to transition on his own and would accept a second chance. He put in a request to see a psychiatrist on March 5th, putting in motion acceptance of help. If reinstated, he will have retained almost everything he's done, experienced, and gained. In his most recent letter, he has compiled a plan with steps to be successfully productive. The first being placed in the halfway house, even if he has to pay for it with his final paycheck, which I retain. I have that. the raw evidence of the things mentioned in this letter. Everybody makes mistakes. And I respectfully ask all of you to consider Reed's statement. If he succeeds, great. If not, then at least for a long hope that he was given the opportunity to. Thank you, Reed.
Any questions from you? Okay. Well, thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Covey?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything you'd like to say on behalf of Mr. Dykes?
Well, what I would like to say is that he's, of course, speaking as a employer, but he's very hard worker. He's always on time, and he's always on to work, which is kind of a rarity nowadays, he definitely wanted to work, and he definitely trying to better himself. I don't know what happened previous encounter with that. As an employer, I would say he's a very hard worker, and gets along with everybody and has good communication skills.
Okay.
That's not all I can really say about him as far as his character. Nobody had anything bad to say about him.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Is there any questions from the board? No questions from the board. Okay, thank you, sir. You're welcome to stay on the phone for the rest of the hearing. Okay, so at this time, would either Officer Pareto, Officer Berger, Officer Adams would like to respond at this time? Say anything about this?
Officer Berger, no, I would not.
Okay. All right, we may have lost somebody. All right, so we have no comments there. Is there anyone who have any questions for Mr. Dykes at this point in time before? Okay, Mr. Dykes, the board will be going into discussion shortly to make a determination, but before we do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Anything else you'd like to tell the board before we make our decision, now is the time.
I don't have anything further.
Okay, thank you, sir. So the board will be doing a discussion about determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. We may think we're talking to you, but we won't be. We'll be just discussing your case. But stay on the phone, just remain silent, and I'll be back with you as soon as we make the determination, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Well, there is now discussion. Well, Mr. Dykes is definitely an interesting gentleman. It's kind of a tough one to work out, but when he was out, he's going along, had a job, and because he wasn't seeking any mental health treatment, he apparently went back into one of these more depressed states and did want to go back, and he says he feels the only place he really feels safe is in jail. He's just started some mental health treatment, and I personally think at this point in time it would serve him and the community better if he stayed in the Department of Corrections and continued his mental health treatment and help him prepare to go back out into the community when his sentence is over with. Hopefully at that time he'll have a good enough control of his mental health situation. He can go out and continue that and become a very productive citizen. But I'm going to listen to discussion from me and my fellow board members. So, based on all the information in note number 2019W0314, Mr. Dyke's testimony, the information from all the witnesses, and all the information from the Department of Correction, I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Dykes. As he was delinquent, violating terms, conditions of the supervision, and had actually about to lapse in the penal orders or company.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Canales, and moved by that for Mr. Johnson and immediate mass. Okay, so the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. I'm sure you heard the discussion. I think you would be better served, and so would the community, if you continue with your senior psychiatrist, they got you on medication to settle it down, that have just started, and that type of treatment isn't something you start and 2 weeks later be sure that it's going to go right. They have to last you for a while, adjust your medications, and then you can also get some counseling to help you point in the right direction. So we do wish you the best of luck. We hope that you can get done with all of this and go out and become a productive citizen. So this will end your hearing, sir, and if you would put the CO3 back on the phone, please.
Okay, give me a moment.